Hey, AfterBuzzers, welcome to Spotlight On. Today I am in studio with Mark Jackson. He is the star of the new Fox series, The Orville, which is from Seth MacFarlane. We've all find out all about behind the scenes of that show and more coming right up.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Right, that's how you do it.
Thank you, and thank you, everyone. See the clapping.
Yay.
Thank you, thank you. That was for our Madonna moves.
All right,
they
were
so awesome. Mark, thank you so much for being in studio with me today. I am looking forward to discussing the show. Before we get started, where can everyone find you on social media?
So on Twitter, it's at Mark Jackson Acts, because I act a bit. And on Facebook and Instagram, it's at The Real Mark Jackson. No. The Mark Jackson. No real.
Just the.
I'm not the real one. I'm just the fake one, yeah. So.
Well, that's a good way to find you then. Everyone can search The Fake Mark Jackson.
Right,
not going to work either. And everyone, I am Zoe Hewitt. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Real Zoe Hewitt, because I am real, but I'm not the. So there we go.
Is there a fake one?
There could be.
Right.
There are others.
I think someone needs to search for fake. Fake yes. Zoe now.
Fake Zoe Hewitt.
Right.
So anyway, you are on a really cool show that just premiered, The Orville, that is 400 years in the future.
It is.
When you were first cast, how did you describe the show to your family?
Oh, wow. I said Seth MacFarlane. And of course, they didn't know who that was because my parents are idiots. But I said Family Guy, American Dad, which I did try to make them watch many years ago, but they didn't quite get it because they're old people, but they're lovely. So I said that, and I said sci-fi, and of course they know I'm a huge sci-fi fan and always have been, so they appreciated that. And then I said, and I'm going to America, so they love that even better, you know, to see the back of me, so it's good, yeah.
So when you got the part, you were actually living in England and...
Yeah, I got the part in London and auditioned there. And did one audition on tape, and it was sent off to the America. For every British actor, the America is this big, daunting kind of like Hollywood place that we've not really sort of been to. And it went pretty well from there. They threatened to get me over for a screen test twice, and then it never happened. And then eventually they just sort of got tired of it and just offered me the part, which is good.
Well, that's a great story. I mean, you make it sound so simple. Like, I was living, I sent a tape, they didn't even want a screen test, and bam!
It was a bit of a roller coaster, actually, emotionally.
I
think there was quite a lot of interest quite early on. And then, you know, we had to wait about 6 weeks, I think, for the final say. I'm sure someone over here really didn't want to cast me. So they were arguing with whoever did.
It was back and forth.
Yeah, and then luckily, the people who liked me won, so that was good.
Excellent. The show would not have been the same without you. And were you familiar with Seth MacFarlane then when you first got the script?
Totally, yeah. I mean, I must have watched American Dad or Family Guy every day for the past 10 years. I mean, you know, the man's a hero. He's one of the greatest satirists we have, not just in America, but in the world. I mean, his humor has reached all of us, hasn't it? And he's really important, you know, the work he does.
Yeah.
So with this show... I mean, it was just so exciting that he was doing something new as well. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I wanted to be part of it, you know.
Right. Yeah. And who wouldn't be? And speaking of satire, so the show is actually, I know it's not officially a parody, but for people who aren't as familiar with it, the closest thing is that it is like Star Trek, but not.
Yeah, I mean, the show doesn't shy away from the fact that it has similarities to Star Trek. You know, I mean, I think it's... Is homage too strong a word? I don't know. It's a bit of a love letter to Star Trek. You know, I mean, it really respects Star Trek and builds on the legacy of that show.
And your character is a non-human life form, but you don't call him a robot.
No robot. No.
And so tell me about the character.
Well, he's called Isaac. He's from the planet Kalon. Mm-hmm. So not human at all, like really alien and really quite weird, as I'm sure everyone's seen from the first episode. He's a synthetic life form and therefore wasn't made by humans. We don't know exactly who he was made by or if he made himself or, you know, there's a lot of mystery around that character that sort of develops later on. And he, he's been sent to the Orville, which is a ship in the Union. The Union being a conglomeration of planets and civilizations. And he's been sent to the Orville to be the science officer there and to observe the human race and all the other aliens and to report back to Kalon. So,
and the character has a really interesting look, meaning that we would never in a million years recognize you, would we?
No.
We've got a photo, I know, of you in costume.
Right. That's why I'm doing all these shows, just to get my face out there, because actually no one knows who I am. It's a fantastic costume, as you've seen. And the helmet and the gloves were made by Howard Berger, who is an Academy Award-winning makeup and costume designer. And he's a... Yeah, he's just fantastic. And the helmet's very clever. It clips on with magnets, which is pretty cool and really easy to get off, which is the most important thing. He looks great. He sort of harks back to the retro robots of... didn't mean to use that word, robots. The retro sort of machines of Metropolis and those sort of old-fashioned sort of 20s sci-fi films.
And that's really interesting that it attaches on magnets, because I was wondering, like, what is it made of? Did they do some sort of cast?
I don't know. It's some sort of, like, wizard material. It's, I think NASA might have given it to them. I'm not sure. But it's opaque to look at, but to look through, I can see. So
you
it's,
can. I was wondering. That was my next question. How do you see out of that? Because it's so smooth. So is it hard to the touch?
It is hard to the touch, yeah. And we'd have had a lot of horrible accidents if I couldn't see through it. So it's a good job we did. It's very clever. It's got an air system inside it. It's got obviously the lights for the eyes, and I've got a microphone and I can hear. I've got I'm sort of properly sort of like plugged in. It's great.
So you're like the fastest one in and out of hair and makeup, basically.
Oh yeah. I mean, I arrive and I'm like, oh, morning guys, it's so early, and everyone's like, we've been here for 2 hours, So I do have that. That's quite easy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you miss out on the bonding time in the makeup trailer? Because the rest of them, some of those aliens, they must be in makeup for a long time.
Well, who knows what they get up to in there? I mean, I've heard stories which really can't be repeated on air. I think there might be a little bit of a tipple at the end of the day when they're getting it all taken off, little drink just to start them on their way for the evening. I think a lot of chat goes down in... Mm-hmm. In the makeup trailer, it always does, whether that's theatre or TV. And I suspect they probably know a lot more gossip than I do. So I'll be asking them later when I see them.
Right, like, catch me up, guys.
Yeah, come on, I want it all.
And so was the costume already designed when you were cast, or were you part of that process to come up with what your character would look like?
I suppose they must have had the designs beforehand. Mm-hmm. I actually met up with Howard, who designed the helmet, in London, it must have been 2 months before I came out. And we went for breakfast together because he was over doing the latest Transformers film. Uh-huh. And, and he showed me the designs for the aliens, and he showed me Isaac. Uh-huh. And so it was pretty much exactly what it ended up being. So I think they knew exactly what they wanted, and they made it happen.
And so you have a mic then, so you don't have to do your lines later and looping or anything.
It's a combination, really. It's a combination. It depends. I mean, I think everyone's had to do a bit of ADR looping just because, the show is sort of constantly changing as the editors work on it. And, there's lots of different comedy lines that work differently, and they kind of wanted to get the best thing going. So, yeah, I think it's been a combination of the two, really, yeah.
And what was it like for stepping onto set and meeting Seth MacFarlane, whom you had clearly known of for a long time?
Terrifying. He's a horrible, horrible man. No, he's lovely. It was terrifying a bit because I got here and I hadn't met anyone because I hadn't actually been out for any of the screen tests. So I remember meeting up with everyone in the room, and we went for a sort of a meet and greet, I thought, which turned out to be an informal table read, which I didn't know about. And the cast were there, and obviously Seth was there, and Jon Favreau was there, who was directing, and it was quite overwhelming. And what I quickly learned and realised was that most people there were Seth's friends, from his life. So I realised it was such an honour for them to take a chance on me to come out here and work on the show. And luckily they were all lovely and, really nice people to get along with,
And Jon Favreau is a big deal director. I mean, I feel like everyone must know Iron Man. He's doing the new live-action Jungle Book coming. Or not Jungle Book, excuse me, Lion King coming up.
Yes.
So hearing that he was going to actually be directing the first episode, did you have to sort of pinch yourself? Like, I can't believe I'm on this.
Well, I couldn't. I think I'd gotten the part and then later on learned that he was going to be directing it. And yes, I mean, what a sort of mammoth of a director. I mean, he just has done so many great stuff and great comedy as well, which was really encouraging. I actually, part of me coming over was getting a whole visa process going. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that is quite, actually, it's quite hard to get into this country, no matter what some people say. So to do that, I had to have a lot of people, you know, write very nice things about me. And, you know, and I believe Jon Favreau. Favreau? I should know this. Favreau?
I say Favreau.
I think I've been saying this all...
How are you saying
no
it?
No wonder he
hates
me.
It sounds the same
me.
To me.
I mean, you know. Favreau?
Favreau. It sounds like so similar
you're
to me.
You're doing the French, you're doing Favreau, no?
Favreau.
I like it, Favreau, okay. So I walked into the room and I went, oh, hi, and this is John. He was like, oh, yeah, you're Mark, right, yeah. You would not believe the letter I had to write for you, so don't be shit. And I kind of went... Okay, I'll try.
Like, what an introduction.
Right.
But by the same token, it's sort of like, can I get a copy of that letter for my scrapbook?
Yeah, right? I mean, I need that frame somewhere, you know. I think. So then, actually, to his credit, and he was very nice, he came up to me at the end of the pilot and he said, you weren't shit. I thought, well, that's great.
Thank you.
I've made it. I should get that framed, really.
Yes.
You weren't shit.
Well, just think, if he wrote that great letter about you before he had even met you, think of what he would say now in a letter.
Well, and yes, unless I have gone down in his estimation.
No,
I mean,
you weren't shit.
I wasn't shit.
So.
But, you know, there's a lot in between. I don't know. That could be, yeah, well, best not ask, I'd say.
Well, did he come back to direct another episode?
No, he didn't.
I know who we can blame.
I suspect he will, though. Yes, maybe it was all just me. Maybe he's like, I just can't work with him. You know?
That must have been. And speaking of, there's actually some incorrect information about you out there, so I feel like this is our opportunity to clear it up, speaking
it
of the
scandalous
show.
Scandalous? Or...
You wish.
Right.
No. So episode 13 of the show, there is indeed an episode 13, but I understand you did not write episode 13, despite information to the contrary.
No, I did not. IMDb, I did not write episode 13, okay? So, there is an episode 13. There are 13 episodes, the pilot being the first episode. Uh-huh. That's why it sounds a bit strange. But no, I didn't write any of it. If I had, you'd probably notice it by the 13th episode. You'd be like, this isn't right. None of this is funny.
No, it would be credited as Isaac, right?
It would just be Isaac, yes. And as you know, if no one watches this, no one will know who Isaac is. So I might be off scot-free. Right?
Bam. And you can take credit for episode 13 then.
Exactly.
Unless IMDb gets their stuff together.
Yeah. Maybe we shouldn't tell them, you know.
Let's keep it between us now.
Okay, yes. No one else knows.
I feel like we need to whisper that. Isn't that funny? Like, as though that will help. If we whisper, then no one will know.
I think people might just start turning off if we whisper, yeah. Okay, so if we just keep on whispering for the rest of the show.
People have to listen so closely.
Yeah. They'll be like, hold on.
Like, that makes it better because we're whispering.
But then they'll be like, oh, they're just talking rubbish. And then they'll turn off.
Yeah. Don't say that.
Okay, all right, okay.
Back on track. So, was there a lot of improvisation on the show? I mean, Seth is obviously known for comedy, and Jon Favreau.
Well, yeah, no, I've been asked this before, actually. Not really, no. I mean, the scripts were pretty tight. Uh-huh. They were such good scripts, and they were very tight. And, you know, they changed a little bit on set. Mm-hmm. People were like, oh, you know, maybe this word would work better, or maybe we need to cut this line or whatever, but... Not much. They knew exactly what they wanted. And that's, you know, that's a credit to how talented they are. And, you know, Seth and all the writers, it's not just Seth. There's a team of fantastic writers.
Including you.
Including myself, yes. but a lot of them came from Star Trek, actually. Uh-huh. So they have that sort of wonderful genre in their head. Mm-hmm. No, it was all spot on. And no, there wasn't. I mean, I think there was a couple of. I mean, I didn't. I mean, Isaac can't really improvise. No one wants to see that. No, so, and he has to be very precise. Mm-hmm. So if I try improvising that, it's going to go very wrong.
Yeah. Wouldn't work. And you also got to go to Comic-Con, which I don't know, being, since you're not from here, like, do you understand that's such a big deal? Like, San Diego Comic-Con is a really big thing.
No, I mean, I'd heard of Comic-Con. Because they have a few of them around the world, don't they? Yeah. Like, you know, but, and obviously in London, we have the Excel Center where they have these huge, these huge conferences, and Comic-Con could well have been there, actually. Mm-hmm. But I'd never been to it, and I'd always wanted to, because I am a big fan of science fiction, and I just love all the dressing up and the weird creatures and costumes and stuff. So so to go was, you know, dreamy. And being on the floor was great. We weren't on the floor for very long, because we were doing lots of, you know, interviews like this and stuff. But when we did get down there for a bit of signing, we got to meet all the people who just turned up, and it was great, yeah. Really good.
And you got to do something kind of interesting, right, at Comic-Con, like this gravitational something or other?
Oh, yeah, there was this ride. Uh-huh. Didn't know about that before I got onto it. That was fun. Yeah, me and, I think it was me and Jay Lee got onto that. Yeah, it was great fun. We, yeah, it just, you strap yourself in and it's like a, big hamster wheel. And then you just go upside down and all around, and yeah, it's just it's good fun. I think it's meant to recreate being in zero G or something. Mm. Yeah, it's great. Didn't throw up, so
congratulations.
Yeah. It was a victory all round. Yes, really.
Yeah. Absolutely. It sounds like it.
Yeah.
And so did you spend a lot of time then bonding with your castmates, especially since you're not from here, so unlike the others who have a home base, you're sort of floating around on your own.
Yeah, I had like 3 friends when I got here. So, and now I've got 5.
Yay!
Yay!
Another victory.
Excluding the car. So if anyone you want to be friends, then just let me know, because pretty lonely here in LA.
John wants to be your friend, remember?
John, do you know what?
I hope you count him.
He actually doesn't leave me alone. He's probably going to be there when I get home, just sitting on my doorstep, kind of, you know, with another letter.
Well, make sure you ask him for sure then, if, you know, Favreau. Yeah.
Is it Favreau? Is it Favreau?
You know, you sit around watching Iron Man together. Come on.
Oh, you know. And actually, I went to see the latest Spider-Man.
Right.
And he was in it.
Yeah,
and
he is.
I'm like, oh, you're brilliant. He's such a great actor as well. You can always trust a director who's, you know, a good actor. It's nice. But yeah, of course, hang around with cast loads. Mm-hmm. We've had many a night on the town, and yeah, they're all great people. I've got a big theatre background, and the thing about doing a show 8 times a week for a year in front of 1,000 people every night is that you really bond as a cast, and certainly by the end of this season, we were that close, which was lovely.
And so what was going on? What are some behind-the-scenes stories? Now, after so many hours on set, you know, things happen. So what's something that you think fans wouldn't know, for instance, about Seth MacFarlane?
Seth MacFarlane. What wouldn't they know about him? Doesn't he do a regular blog? I'm sure they know everything about that. I don't think he does do a blog. Well, what do we know about him? I mean, he can be wonderfully serious, which is lovely. I mean, he's got a real respect for the craft of acting. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when I first came to set, I mean, he's a funny guy and he's so bright, and you have this strange thing when you're around funny people that you want to try and make them laugh, don't you? Because you're like, then I will win their respect.
I'll be funny too.
Yeah. So I was like, har, 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 and nothing. So then I quickly thought, well, I'll just give up that, that track. And, yeah, and, you know, he's just a lovely bloke, really. And, yeah, he can be incredibly lovely and serious. Uh-huh. And, you know, you can have a really nice chat with him.
And so was there anyone on set who was, like, the jokester or someone who was the gift giver?
Yes, okay. Undoubtedly. Scott Grimes, you know who you are. Jay Lee. And even Penny Johnson-Gerald is a nutter. I mean, she really is in a lovely way. But she, I don't know where they get their energy from. You know, I'm comatose in my robot suit. Like, you know, maybe I've eaten like 5 donuts, and, you know, because they're always there. Right. And they're just jumping around like maniacs. But they're lovely, you know, and they, yeah, they keep everyone going. The crew, bless them, they're there like from the start to the end. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes they need waking up. And, yeah, all 3 of them do the job brilliantly.
And so what happened on set? There must be, like, some prank, something that happened.
Gosh, you know, I mean, when you've got a show that has so much fun in it already, you know, it's hard to imagine what happens outside of it. I think I'm probably the worst person to ask about this. I probably usually had my head in a book or something, you know.
Is that what you're doing in between takes? You're busy reading?
I try to read. Oh. Actually, you know, filming's quite odd like that. You sort of have sort of 5-10 minute breaks now and again, and you end up reading the same paragraph 10 times over the course of a day, and then you're just like, oh, I just give up on this. So, we had a lot of fun. You know, everyone sits around chatting and eating donuts, Yeah, it's been great. I mean, I think most fun happened on Nights Out, and of course, I can't talk about that.
Oh, of course you can.
No.
So where is your go-to spot then?
Well, there's been many. Uh-huh. Seth took us to one of his, what's it called, Brass Monkey?
I don't know. I'm the opposite of a going out type spot person.
where do you like to stay in?
at my house.
Oh, right, okay.
That's all I do.
Seth took us to Brass Monkey, which is a karaoke bar. Don't ask me where. It's all Ubers, and I just sort of get out of them and get into them. And it's where he used to go long before Family Guy sort of hit and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, they love him there. And must have been a Friday, Saturday night, and it was absolutely rammed. And we arrived about, I don't know, 11, 12. Uh-huh. And I've got burpee hiccups. Thanks, the gods. That's great. We turn up we go with Seth, and it's rammed, and there aren't any tables. And then suddenly there's a table at the front by the stage. You know, I'm sure the maitre d' had something to do with that. And yeah, we sat down. And the wonderful thing about Seth is, he'll sing now and again. He'll get up there and sing and do some Frank Sinatra. And it was a great night. That, yeah, good night.
It must have been. And a lot of your castmates as well are well known here. So Absolutely. You're sort of going out with a well-known group.
I know. I'm the least famous or least important person on the show.
Not the case, but the least maybe recognizable because you're wearing a mask. And because a lot of your past work has been voiceover as well. You've done a lot of
voiceover. So, but also it's all been in, London.
Right.
Done a lot of theatre. In London it's that's what actors do. Actors do loads of theatre, and then they do a bit of TV and film on top. And it's quite strange because in LA, in particular, there's not a huge theatre scene. Right. I'm really looking forward to going out there and seeing some now that I have some free time. And I know in New York is a big theatre scene. Right. So I've come from a slightly different background to some of the other actors on the show. Having said that, Scott Grimes never fails to remind us that he was on Broadway at 8. So he's been doing it a long time. It's a mixed bunch, but we all complement each other rather well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it seems like you must, because you can tell watching also that there's a lot of chemistry with the cast.
Yeah.
And that's so important.
On and off screen, definitely.
Which makes a difference, right? Especially when they're your only three friends, you know. You better have some good chemistry.
You know, now I say three, I can't even think exactly who they
Which
are.
Which three?
Yeah.
Well, we know John.
We know John, yes. John.
You and he.
John. Yeah. God, I really hope he doesn't watch this. Sorry, John. You're great. You're really cool. And I probably won't talk to you next time I see you. It's fine.
So you have done a lot of voiceover work.
Yes.
Is that something that... So because it was at home, is it with your regular voice? Did you get to make up a lot of unusual voices?
Well, yeah. No, I've done a lot of... just talking like this. Yeah. So if you like this, give my agent a call. It's I can do things for you for money down a microphone, if you like that. There's also a sort of transatlantic accent is quite popular.
Yeah.
Which I discovered was just me doing an American accent. So that's been quite good. But of course, I do an American accent in the show. I'm sure people are going, what? Really? Does he? Because a few people on set even did that when I was doing it. They were like, so do you do accents? It's like, well, I'm doing American in this. They were like, oh, okay.
nothing like something like that to just boost your confidence.
I know, right? I mean, this was mid-season, I think, voiceovers are good fun. And yes, I've done a bit of sort of radio acting and I played Neil Coward in a little cartoon thing that I did. It was very, very, very nice.
I just feel like it's so impressive when I hear people do different accents, because it's like you can just pull out different voices. I don't know. I love it.
Well, there are some people who really do that. I don't actually consider myself to be one of those, but some people, I've got friends at home who are... I mean, geniuses, they're just like chameleons.
Right.
I wish I had that ability, yeah.
Well, I feel like you deserve more credit and poo-poo on the people who said, what, you've been doing an accent?
They've been blacklisted anyway.
Yes,
so it's
absolutely.
Yeah. I got them fired.
Yeah, good.
Like I have that power.
And so with theater, did you and Scott then bond over your theater backgrounds?
We've talked about, and particularly Peter Macon, who plays Bortus. We've talked a lot about our theater backgrounds. You know, he's played Othello like 5 times. Which is an incredible accomplishment, really. But we talk about that, you know, all the hammy stories from theatre. Scott, I mean, Scott is such a lovely man. You know, I stayed in a hotel for a month when I first got here. And then I moved into an apartment. And I'm, you know, moving in, I've got nothing to put into this apartment. Right. Like, so I buy this sofa from a charity shop thrift store for like $85. Uh-huh. And I'm like, I don't have a car. I couldn't even drive at that point. I had to do my tests after I got here. And Scott turned up with his trailer.
Oh, that is nice.
He didn't. He helped me. He shoved this thing into the, you know, into my apartment with me. And, you know, we sort of sat there and he got bored because there was nothing else to look at and left. But he's a lovely man for it.
Yeah. Is he friend number two?
He's one of my cast friends. So he's an addition to my...
into your three.
My handful of LA friends, which, yeah.
He's like a plus one.
He's a very lovely and very welcome plus one. Yeah.
So, I mean, doing theater, I think, is very intimidating to a lot of people. And a lot of actors here, at least in the U.S., say that they wait until, you know, that's sort of like where they prove themselves, that they can do something in front of a live audience. But starting in theater, does it have that same nuance, I guess, at home as it does here?
I think, you know, you're either the type of person who can get up in front of 1,000 people and do it, or you're not. And I guess you can learn to be better at it. But the part of the joy about acting in theatre is when you just forget they're there and you can just sort of go into this crazy world. And I mean, it's that's the wonderful thing about it. The nice thing about it is also knowing they're there. this is me contradicting myself, but knowing that it's live and you have that direct connection with an audience and direct feedback as well. You know, you don't have to wait for ratings because, you know, you're gonna get booed. Luckily, that's never happened.
That sounds like a nightmare to me.
Yeah,
getting booed.
Booing would be the worst thing ever.
Yes.
But, you know, if you're doing a comedy, you get this wonderful laughter and it's there's no other better feeling, really. Mm-hmm. So, you know, filming's very different. And, you know, in great ways, too. I mean, you know, you only have to do it once. Lovely. Learn it, do it, forget it. Great. You know, but with theatre, like, you definitely can't forget it. You know, that's the thing. I think I like both of them very much. Uh-huh. They both have perks. They both have downsides.
Right.
I mean, the days for filming are so long. Gosh. You know, I was pulling 16 hours at the end. Anyone who's in a crew watching this will be like, 16 hours is nothing. But for this pathetic actor, it was like, that was hard work. Yeah.
And on set, are there any episodes then coming up from those 16-hour days that spoke to you especially, that you either just absolutely loved, you found them super funny, you just found that they were hard to film because you kept laughing?
Oh, yeah. Well, there's ones I really love that, you know, I wasn't in much. Like, as the season goes on, I appear more and more in each episode. Until the end, it's like, it's just me, actually. And it's like a one-man show. No,
is that like a monologue?
No, that really would be tedious.
Is that the one you wrote?
That's the one I wrote. There you go. It's just me. I wrote it. They're not really going to air it. Maybe you guys can. Can you do that?
We can air in here.
Okay.
Special exclusive After Buzzers.
Yes. Isaac on Isaac. A special evening with Isaac. So episode 8 is like in the first season, each character of the main 8 get their own sort of episode type thing. Where you get to learn a bit more about their character and their lives and, you know, what they get up to on the ship and all that kind of stuff. Isaac's episode is episode 8.
Okay.
At the moment, unless they change that round, and then I look like a complete fool. But you learn a lot about him, and you get to see more into, you know, the way he works and you know, the relationships he forms on the ship, which is lovely.
And I know we can't go into too much because we still have all those episodes in between. Where
absolutely.
We
I could get sued, so I'm not going to say anything, really.
Lips are zipped. Don't worry, Fox. Right?
Yeah.
So you've got a lot going on. The show, we've got, I mean, you guys just started airing, so we've got a whole season ahead before we find out if there's more. But what is up next for you? What's the plan?
Well, I'm just, you know, being a jobbing actor and auditioning. Mm-hmm. And if you like what you see, I can arrange for my CV to be sent to you. I can drop it off at your house, maybe. Or
this was actually your audition tape.
Actually, I could get John to do it, couldn't he?
Do it.
Yeah.
Get him to write another letter.
Yeah. Well, just make up a CV for me.
Yes.
I'm now in all Iron Man films.
Yes. Yeah. And all live-action Disney remakes
right.
that he works on.
Yes, The Lion King would be good, wouldn't
yes.
it?
Yes. Yeah, yes. Nice. Pick yourself a role.
Yeah.
Put it on IMDb. It's not like anyone will know.
Right. I could play Scar.
Good.
Yeah. There's a...
There you go.
Rubbish, evil laugh for you. Yeah.
No, don't say rubbish because you don't know what other people are thinking.
Right. That might be the best one they've heard yet.
John was thinking, why didn't I cast this guy sooner?
Yeah. Okay, I like
listening.
That. And of course, you wouldn't even see me in that. So that's good as well, isn't it? I can make a career of not being seen.
Well, it is live action. Surely you'd be in there somewhere.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
So where can everyone find you on social media then? Let's remind everyone where they can keep
okay.
up with you.
So Twitter, I'm going to get it right this time.
Get it
okay.
right.
Twitter is Mark Jackson Acts. Mm-hmm. And then Instagram and Facebook is The Mark Jackson.
And I'm Zoe Hewitt. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at RealZoeHewitt. But I have to say, after all that, I was thinking, did I get my own correct?
So I think you should Google it.
I know. I was having a moment there. So thank you so much for joining us, After Buzzers, on today's Spotlight On. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.